Welcome back. You're listening to Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. I'm Bonnie Dubrow. Today my guest is Speed Ream. We've been talking about the path of the yearning heart. Speed, you've been talking about weaving together the two ancient paths of shamanism and yoga to give meaning, awareness, structure, and I'm making up those words because they're just what's coming to me right now, to how we can live our lives on this planet, show up, be fully alive, and make a difference. Is that kind of a good summary?
That's an excellent summary. The only thing I would add is live a life worth living. And that's an entirely personal thing for every person. Some people will find they want to be political. Some people will find they want to be monks or hermits. It doesn't matter where our yearning heart takes us. But a fully involved and alive heart will live a life that's worthy of a life. That one could be proud of at the moment when there is no more life. Whatever happens at the moment of death, I'm not going to say that I know. But I'd like to be proud that I, especially the last half of my life, was well spent. So,
was it Thoreau that said, we live lives of quiet desperation?
I don't know.
I think that was. And so what you're saying is that, is it the path or the way? And is there a difference? Do you use those names interchangeably?
It is the way of the yearning heart and the path of the rising smoke, which is the shamanic part of the yearning heart. The Amrit Yoga is the yogic part of the yearning heart. So it's a way, and there's, you know, what is the difference between a way and a path? It's almost poetry rather than it is a real meaning. I chose the words because of the way they sound and how it felt to my heart. That's really what it really means.
So the practice is showing up in your life in small ways, including naming this path, this way that you're now living or practicing living.
What's the difference?
What is the difference?
And by the way, we were talking earlier about keeping promises to oneself. The more aware that I become, the harder it is to keep promises to myself, and the more aware I am of how many promises I break every day. So I don't want you to get the idea that this is something that one just accomplishes overnight. You know that I did a yogic 40-day fast in December of 2006 and January of 2007. During that fast, I had a lot of time to see how many promises I would break to myself. But the awareness of that became very clear that this is a path, this is a practice, this is a never-ending practice as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a perfection. This is just a greater joy every day. It is possible. And that's what this is about.
So yoga, is there more to yoga than just doing postures, by the way? I know the answer, but a lot of people have come to... Yoga's been very popularized in this last 10 years, and people see it as postures, hatha yoga. So I have two questions. Is there more to yoga? And what if I'm overweight or I have bad knees? What if I'm 85 or blind? What if I'm in a wheelchair or I work behind a desk all day? Where does yoga fit into my life?
Well, let me take being overweight, because I was overweight for over 20 years. So, and one way that yoga fits into your life is to bring your energy up high enough that you can love your own body exactly as it is right now, no matter what anyone else says.
Or what your inner voice might say, I would think, has to come in there.
Well, what many people think of what their inner voice is not their inner voice. It's a reflection of their outside society and someone that they trust to judge them for themselves. So, for example, let's say I'm a woman who's 200 pounds overweight, it may be very difficult to really love my own body because of the reflections that I've accepted as my own from the outside society.
Why don't you talk, that's interesting. I find it so fascinating that you chose to say, let's say I'm a woman. What was it like as a man who was overweight?
Much easier. And the reason I chose the woman, because I found it much easier.
How would you know?
Good point. If I'm at all empathic, though, which I'm not claiming to be, but if I am at all empathic, I think the people that I've known that have been ladies that have been really severely overweight, several have shared with me that they have suffered extremely. And I never did suffer at that kind of level of extremity when I was overweight. But the point about yoga is, can I love myself, my body, when it's fat? And it's so hard. It is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the make or break point for someone if they really want to know where their energy is. And if I'm overweight, can I get to the point where I'm actually in love with my own body just the way it is if I don't lose a single ounce? Yes, I can get there. It takes a lot of work.
And once you get there, I know we've talked about this idea of enlightenment, that it's not a one-time event and then the light stays on. We might reach a moment where I feel good about my body, and 5 minutes or even a moment later, something come up and my attention, my energy, my awareness can shift back to an old habit. And that's where the idea of practice comes in, that it's a practice, that it's a daily activity to put our attention on what we want. And I know Gurudev Amrit talks so much about, if we're feeling lost, if we want to get somewhere, and we call the person and say, I'm lost, what's the first thing they're going to want to know? Where are we? It's impossible to really move further on down a path if we don't first accept where we are. And so that's a paradox, isn't it? To say, I love myself, my body, my thoughts, my feelings right now, and I'm becoming.
It's only a paradox if you don't understand that you are the creator. And it's just that simple. Everyone goes through these cycles of understanding and not understanding, small enlightenments and not enlightenments. You said earlier that enlightenment isn't a single thing, and maybe for some people it is. So I wanted to just make that small challenge.
Absolutely.
For me, it never has been. It's been a continuous series of events where I'm not saying I'm enlightened. I'm saying I've had enlightening-type events in my life. Just learning something new in school is an enlightenment for me. That's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
There is a momentum that builds up with a daily practice, and that momentum gets a person over a tipping point. The daily practice is a must. If for my path, for this way, if you're not doing a daily practice, doesn't have to be yoga, could be gardening. Yoga is extremely powerful if it's done the way that Amrit Desai does it. But if you're not doing a daily practice, you're not getting enough energy to get over a tipping point. And for the example of someone losing a weight, the tipping point is, do I spend more than half my time really liking myself, even though I'm overweight? This space of walking, liking myself, that creates the future.
Mm.
The energy that I feel as I walk down my earth walk every day, that is what is creating it. I need to get over that 50% mark. The body will take care of itself as soon as I give it enough energy to get it over that mark. Believe me, it happened to me. Once I got the energy, all of a sudden, I didn't care if I ate or not.
Hmm.
Lost 60 pounds in 60 days.
Something like that.
And I never felt hungry, and I don't today, and I have to remember to eat today. And it was a matter of doing a daily practice and knowing that I had to come into agreement with myself and not agree with anybody else that said I was too fat, not strong enough, not good looking enough. Every time I thought that was my voice, and I actually looked at whose voice it was. It wasn't my voice. Hmm. It wasn't my internal self.
Right.
But that only became aware. I only became aware of those distinctions after 7, 8 years of yoga, and then really 3 years of intensive daily practice that got me to what got me with enough energy that I could just see these things without suffering them. So it's not really such a nice message that the message is there's no quick fix. That's my message. There may be tremendous good quick fixes, but you won't hear it from me.
Or me.
So my quick fix is there must be a daily practice. And if it's not something astoundingly workable, like yoga, which is so workable, I can do Amrit yoga driving a car, in a hospital bed, flat on my back if I have a back spasm or a leg cramp. So the way I approach Amrit yoga is it has nothing to do with the posture in the sense, the traditional sense. It all has to do with where is my attention and why.
Good.
So
when I pick up yoga journal or I see people doing yoga, they're doing all these fancy movements. What I hear you saying is simply standing or sitting with awareness is an opportunity to build energy in my system. That it's the awareness more than it is the configuration of the body.
It's two things, and I'd like to demonstrate the enlightenment posture. And this is would seem to be impossible on the radio, but it's not. But if you take your right hand and put it up and down so the fingers are pointing toward the ceiling, and the palm is pointing either left or right, depending on if it's your right hand, your palm is pointing left. The fingers are up, and you just take your index finger and drop it down to the left.
So in other words, you had your fingers up, you curled your thumb, and...
You don't have to. You just have your fingers up,
oh, okay.
And just drop your finger down and up. Now, if I do that and I just watch it, that's not a posture. But let me restate it again for the radio. My fingers are pointing toward the ceiling, and I just drop one of my fingers, my index fingers, I drop it down so it's now parallel to the ground.
Okay.
And if that's a stretch, I don't have to go that far. Some people are, that's a stretch because for whatever reason. Go back up. Now, if all I have to do is put my attention on that finger, just whatever attention I happen to have, nothing supernatural, and feel it as it goes down and up. Just feel the experience of the finger going down, feel the experience of the finger going up, with attention on that feeling. Ta-da! The enlightenment posture. That's all. There's a one way of looking at Amrit yoga. Any hatha yoga posture, this way. There are many, many other fabulous ways of looking at yoga. This way zeroes in on pure energy. And what do I mean? The kind of pure energy that I'm talking about in the way of the yearning heart is the attention of the aware analytic mind, not the subconscious, the aware analytic mind on the feeling in the body right now. That's all I mean when I say do yoga.
And when you do that, there's an increase of energy in the system.
When you do that, you unhook the unknown attention that's been stuck in your system since you were 1 year old. And you are unhooking all the hypnosis, all the parental commands, all the commands from the adults as you grew up, all the commands that you received in your socialization in school, which, by the way, is a tremendously beneficial process. We have to socialize our kids. But we can also teach them to unhook the kind of hypnosis they went through during the socialization process, and most, many, many people never do. Bring my attention to the present moment, I'm unhooking the attention that's stuck past in the past. The result of that is a huge inflow of energy, because my energy is no longer back someplace else that I don't even know it's there.
So it's unleashing the image of a bottle having a cork in it. By being present, the powers in the moment, I can become more aware. I'm a choice at that point when I'm here. I can choose, do I still want to respond this way? How am I really feeling? And it's
even better than that. I mean, you're saying it exactly right. But the kind of mental process you just went through is not what really happens. What happens is you experience joy. What happens is you go, holy mackerel, this is fun. And the mental stuff just kind of floats away, and you're actually doing what you've wanted to do all along.
Which is be in the moment, be joyful.
Yes.
Which is why we can experience that through yoga or gardening or running. It's the attention on the intention to be present, to put our attention on what we want, to be engaged, to be loving what we're doing.
That's it. To be loving what we're doing. You just hit the nail on the head.
And we can do that.
More every day.
At any moment. Thank you, Speed, for sharing with us the wisdom of the ancient ones through the paths of shamanism and yoga that you've woven together in your way of the yearning heart so that we can live more fully, more joyfully in today's world. We were speaking to Speed Rehm. If you'd like to talk with him, you can reach him at 321-508-0124 or email him at sream@post.com. This is Bonnie Dubrow. You can reach me at bonnie@radioforwomen.us. That's radio4women.us. You've been listening to Strategies for Success, the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. And remember, a smile is a frown turned upside down.